Would you turn, please, in God's Word to another place? Don't lose Acts chapter 1. We will be coming back there in a few minutes. But Ezra chapter 8. The book of Ezra and the 8th chapter. In every evangelical church that is in a healthy condition, at least one is to be found. In this church, at least one may be encountered each week. I refer to what is known as the church prayer meeting. The church prayer meeting is one of the main services in this congregation. And in some ways, it's the most important. This is so because the health of the church prayer meeting determines the health of the other services and the other activities in the church. The condition of the church prayer meeting is an indicator of the progress or otherwise of the work of the Lord carried on in the church, through the church, by the church, in the church, and even beyond the church. A new season in God's work has got underway today. The engine has been switched on. The gear has been engaged. There's a moving forward along the journey of God's purpose for us as a congregation. And how far we advance and the quality of that advancement will depend on the church's prayer life reflected in the meetings for prayer. Therefore, it is important and essential that we give serious consideration and thought to the church prayer meeting and to look well to its health, its vigor, its function, since the witness of the whole congregation and its effectiveness depends upon the prayer life of the church. So for a while, I want you to consider with me the church prayer meeting. Three things I want to draw your attention to. The first is this, the warrant for it. Is a church prayer meeting necessary? Has the church prayer meeting got a biblical basis or a biblical foundation? Or is it just something that evangelical people want to get involved in? My dear friend, I want to tell you, it has biblical warrant. It has been designed and decreed by the Lord Jesus Christ, by God Almighty himself. Now notice Ezra chapter 8. Notice verse 21. Just to give you briefly the background, Ezra is leading a delegation of not a few people, quite a number of people, from Persia to go back to the place Jerusalem, where he had to see to the religious worship. The city was still in a large part not rebuilt. The temple was rebuilt, but godly worship had fallen in hard times. And Ezra now has been allowed to lead a delegation back, and he has been given funding to do that. And here he is at a certain part of the journey, verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones, and for all our substance. Verse 23. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. A number of people getting together in a group. In this instance, it was a very large number in order to pray that God would give them a safe journey, that God would bless them in the labors that they were undertaking. So in the Old Testament, there is the biblical warrant for a church having a prayer meeting. You will remember, no doubt, and we'll just turn to this, if you will, very quickly. It's Matthew chapter 18. And very often these words are quoted whenever Christian people are met for prayer, and rightly so. But let's read them now. Matthew 18, verse 19 and verse 20. The Lord Jesus is the speaker. This is what he's saying. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself recognizes the validity of Christian people gathering together in his name and approaching God in prayer for things. But in case of any doubt, the reading we had in Acts chapter 1 will dispel that doubt. Because as soon as these people had left Olivet, when the Lord Jesus Christ was taken up from them, the 11 apostles, these 11 apostles went back with others, met up with others in a certain place in Jerusalem, and they continued in prayer. Now let's read some of the verses that we read in Acts chapter 1. This really is the basis of what we want to say. Notice verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James, and he mentions all the apostles. Also at the end there, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. What a company there was gathered on that occasion for united corporate prayer. Christian people belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ meeting together. Now, let's notice very quickly about this warrant. First of all, the place in which it was held. It was in Jerusalem. It was an upper room. It was a place that was set apart for this meeting. And in this particular place here, every Wednesday night in the assembly hall, we're met for prayer. Every Sunday morning before the service, and every Sunday night before the service, we meet in the room behind this wall. There's a large minor hall there. We meet for prayer. Whenever the prayer meetings are on from the end of September to before the 12th of July, that 8 or 9 month period, we meet also in that room. Every other Sunday night, usually, there is a prayer meeting in the youth room to pray for revival. And in the minister's room, before every session meeting and every committee meeting, prayer will be offered, sometimes by numbers of elders and deacons. So this church recognizes the validity of the prayer meeting because it is scripture. There is a warrant for it. And we have place set aside. And the main church prayer meeting on Wednesday night is the largest room next to this in the building. It's the assembly room. And with regard to our school, there's a monthly prayer meeting every month held across in the school facilities there generally. And all aspects of the work of God are based, soaked, and founded on prayer. So there is a place. And that's why, while it's good to pray in our homes and necessary, yet a church needs a place where its families, its members, its Christian people can come away from those places and meet in this particular place that is set apart for the church prayer meeting. But notice not only the place, notice the personnel. We're told here in this 14th verse, these all, that's the apostles, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Women in the prayer meeting. That's good. The sad thing is, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but the sad thing is, take the women out of the prayer meeting in many places, and there are very few men. Something wrong with the men, Christian men folk, that can't be at the prayer meeting and are leaving it all with the women. But notice who else there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was at that prayer meeting. She was there. And his brethren. Now that's interesting. Don't lose Acts 1, but turn back to John chapter 7. And see something about these brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of John's Gospel, chapter 7. John's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren, therefore, said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Though we're being a little bit sarcastic here. Show yourself. You're such a popular person. Well, then take advantage of this Feast of the Tabernacles and show yourself. And the reason they said that was, neither did his brethren believe in him. Here are a number of men in the family of the Lord Jesus that were not his supporters at this particular time. But something has happened between John chapter 7 and Acts chapter 1. These men have got converted and they are found now in the prayer meeting, even though the Lord Jesus Christ is not with them in bodily presence. Let me speak to people here who were once non-Christians, but are Christians now. Are you in the prayer meeting? Has the change in your life been such that, like these formerly unbelieving brethren of the Lord Jesus, who are now in the prayer meeting, that you will follow their example and be in the prayer meeting as well? Young people, Christian young people, you're part of the personnel of this church. Are you in the prayer meeting? Let me tell you why it's important for you to be in the prayer meeting. One of the reasons is, I'll give another later in a few minutes, one of the reasons is, you will learn how to pray by listening to other people praying. And even though you might feel intimidated by the experience of other people, especially older people and mature people, don't let that worry you. You can learn how they come to the Lord in Jesus' name and be precise and simple, specific, definite, and believing in their prayers. Young people, you need to be taught to pray and you need to get into the church prayer meetings as a help, not the only help, but as a great help to help you to pray by being with others who do pray. But notice, not only the place, it was an appointed place for prayer, not only the personnel, all the people who were at it, but notice the participation. Notice verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer. I want you to notice there was constancy here. They kept at it. You know, some people, and we're all like this, we get warm toward a thing for a while. We take to it, and then when the novelty of it wears off, we just drop it. The Lord doesn't want us to be like that with regard to prayer. It's a lifelong practice that ought to mark every child of God. Now, there may be phases. There may be hard times. There may be easy times. And anybody that prays year after year will know there are times that prayer can be very difficult. But that should not be a reason why we don't proceed with it. Keep at it. Be constant in it. Instant, in season, and out of season. Whenever the Lord's moving mightily in our midst, it's easy to pray then. But when we don't see any evidences of it moving, and our prayers are not being answered, it's hard to pray. We lose heart. But these people continued in prayer. There was constancy. But notice something else. There was harmony. They continued with one accord. They were all agreed on the agenda. They were all agreed on the list of things to be prayed for. They loved one another. They helped one another. They encouraged one another. What a model for a prayer meeting we have here in Acts chapter 1. This is the biblical basis for our church prayer meetings. But notice, secondly, not only the warrant for the church prayer meeting, but notice the worth of the church prayer meeting. Let's say that everybody here, particularly the Christian, concedes. Yes, I can see the legitimacy of the prayer meeting now. I know that every church should have a prayer meeting. But will it do any good? Well, let's notice the worth of the prayer meetings. Let's notice that there is potency. There is power. There is effectiveness in united corporate prayer of God's people getting together to pray. For instance, you need not turn to this, but in James chapter 4, James says, ye have not because ye ask not. So turn that round. You have because you ask. prayer meetings basically are asking meetings. That's why prayer meetings are held, to ask of God. Now, God is to be thanked, God is to be worshipped, God is to be praised. But basically and fundamentally, prayer meetings are asking meetings. That's basically what prayer is anyhow. But notice this prayer meeting in Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, with regard to its worth. First of all, the fact that the people gathered together meant there was a bonding of them. There was comfort. There was encouragement for them. After all, the one they loved had been taken from them. The Lord Jesus was cruelly impaled on the tree. He was crucified in the plan of God, bearing our sins. He had gone back to heaven. And even though they knew that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, he had promised that. Even though they knew that he would never leave them nor forsake them, yet things were not going to be quite the same. They wouldn't see him going in and out among them as they had formerly seen him in the past. So the fact that they were all there together meant comfort. You know how it is. Whenever there's a tragedy that occurs, you see, say it's somebody that's young, a schoolgirl or a schoolboy. You've seen them all meeting at the school. What can they do there meeting at the school whenever their young friend is not there anymore? They just seem to want to be with one another. They want to be there. They want to draw comfort and encouragement from one another in their sad time. So this brought comfort to those folk that attended that prayer meeting. But secondly, these people who were at that prayer meeting were uniquely involved in something. They were uniquely involved with Christ's purpose, Christ's plan, and Christ's program. Notice verse 7 of Acts chapter 1. He said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." That's an answer. That's an answer to what they said. They said, "Will you restore at this time the kingdom to Israel?" The Lord never denied that the kingdom was going to be restored. He says, "But it's none of your business. The times and the seasons have got nothing to do with you. That's my Father's prerogative," he says. "But what has to do with you is," notice verse 8, "ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The purpose was world evangelism. Get the gospel out to the masses. The plan was, you're involved in it. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. You people, is what he's saying. And that includes all of us. We have got to get the gospel out. And the program was Jerusalem, first of all, widening out to the whole country of Judea, and then going into Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, turn back to Luke chapter 24 to see how what we're looking at in Acts chapter 1 is intimately connected with Luke chapter 24 and showing us the worth, the value of the prayer meeting. This is one of the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 48 he says, Luke 24 verse 48, "Ye are witnesses of these things." That's what he said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Now verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem," that's where they were met in Acts chapter 1, "until ye be endued with power from on high." And what's happening in Acts chapter 1 is linked to Luke chapter 24 verse 49. And if you read on down, you'll find that he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And in verse 51, he was taken up to heaven from them. That's what we read in Acts chapter 1. Verse 52, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they've gone into this prayer meeting. So for the people that met in Acts chapter 1, the church prayer meeting had tremendous significance. Great worth in it. But let's notice other prayer meetings. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. At this particular juncture, there's persecution raging against the fledgling church. The apostles have been arrested, beaten. intimidated, said you're not to preach in Christ's name anymore. Now notice verse 23, what happens here in Acts 4. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, whenever they heard the report of the persecuted apostles, the church that was met together at a prayer meeting unitedly cried mightily unto God. You'll find out what they prayed about there in the passage. But move on down toward the end of it, verse 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness and speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Did their prayer accomplish anything? Was it a worthy prayer meeting? Was there value in it? Well, notice verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And read on and you'll see the unity, the bonding that was between them. But the point is, rather than being afraid and intimidated, all of these people prayed, Lord, give power to the preachers and keep the preachers at it. And when they finished praying, God rocked the place. And the people went out, especially the preachers among them, and with great boldness preached the very message they were told by the authorities not to preach. A worthy prayer meeting, no doubt, of great value. Turn over very quickly to Acts chapter 12. And notice another prayer meeting. And it was at such a late time. Not the comfort of Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. But rather, throughout the night, whatever night it is. All night. Verse 1 of Acts 12. Now, by that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. You see the plight the church was in. One of their leaders martyred, and another one about to be. But notice verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers, 16 soldiers guarding Peter here, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And notice, if you will, verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, that is, after he was released, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now notice, they had no church buildings as we had. They met in each other's houses, or an upper room, wherever. In this instance, whenever Peter was arrested, the folks all gathered in this house of John Mark's mother. And the Bible says it was throughout the night, and there were many praying, greatly inconvenienced, a crisis situation, and the church turned out in full force. What an example for us. And if you read that whole passage from verse 1 down to verse 12, or further, you'll find that Peter was delivered from prison. Supernaturally, divine intervention in answer to the prayers of that church meeting there in Jerusalem. That's why I'm saying, friend, the church prayer meeting has not only got the warrant from God to be held, but it has got great worth, great value. God looks down upon praying people and he hears. A young man went to London to preach. He stood in the church, which was over twice the size of this, and 80 people faced him in the congregation. He learned afterward that the deacons were about to dissolve the church. That church had a great history. It had Benjamin Keach. It had John Gill, John Rippon, ministers who were all there a long time, whose names are household words, even yet, in the history of the Christian church. But the church had fallen in bad times. This young man, 19 years of age, was invited to preach. He preached. The deacons wanted him to be their minister. He came. And inside a year, the place was too small. It held 1,200 people. He wrote, and I've cut this out, it's at home somewhere. Looking back to the early days when he came, he said, shall we ever forget those prayer meetings? Prayer meetings were held on Monday night. Shall we ever forget them when it seemed that we hadn't room enough to breathe in the place? He said there were times, many times, that I felt led to let you go without even preaching to you. The prayer meetings were so vibrant, so powerful. What prayer meetings we had in those days, he said. Now, in that very same life, he said, wasn't like that whenever he came to the church. Only 80 there. But he said, there was a small band of people that never gave up praying in that church. Even when the congregations were getting smaller and smaller and smaller, they held on and pleaded for the reviving of God's work. And God heard their prayers. Even though the numbers were becoming fewer, God reversed the whole situation in answer to prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, our church prayer meeting can be seedbeds of revival if we could only view their worth. The warrant of the prayer meeting. The church prayer meeting is biblically founded. The worth of the prayer meeting. Answers to prayer come in mighty ways from the Almighty God Himself. And then notice lastly, the working of the church prayer meeting. What's a prayer meeting like for those of you who don't come? Well, Wednesday night, we sing some hymns and we have a message from God's Word. But by far, the major part is given over to prayer. Now let me say, first of all, for the working of the church prayer meeting, something's necessary. First of all, the attendance it requires. If Christians don't come, there'll be no prayer meeting. It's as simple as that. It takes people to be there for the place, the meeting to be called a prayer meeting. It takes Christian people to be at it for it to be called a prayer meeting. So there has to be people in attendance at it. Now, if one Christian feels that he or she has every right not to come, so may all the Christians. Then we'll not have anybody at the prayer meeting. Attendance that is regular, conscientious, sustained is essential to the proper, effective working of the prayer meeting. Let me ask you, Christian, brother and sister in the Lord, can you not do more to enhance the attendance of the prayer meeting by you being there? Need you. But not only is there the attendance it requires, there's the praying it requires. We could have a large crowd coming to the prayer meeting, but if we don't pray, a meeting where prayer is not offered can hardly be properly called a prayer meeting. Now, an audible prayer is acceptable. Some people maybe find it hard to the sound of their own voices. But you can listen to what other people are praying and say amen when they finish, showing that you're in agreement with their prayer. But it's desirable and necessary, beloved, that there be vocal prayers in the prayer meeting. This is the practice that gives the prayer meeting its identity and its definitiveness, that there will be numbers of people who will pray in those prayer meetings. Let me say about vocal praying in prayer meetings. It should be short. Prayer should be short. Unless we have hours in which to pray. Sometimes we have half nights of prayer here. A couple of times throughout the years we've had all night prayer meetings. Plenty of time to pray then. Pray half an hour at a time if you like. But by short praying it will help new people to take part. Who don't normally take part. By short praying more people will take part and there will be more variety and freshness and vitality with short prayers. I remember one night standing down there in the old building just before the communion table, many years ago, a man who's deceased now came to me. I'd been saying something like this then. He said, I want to tell you what you're saying is right. He said, a man told me the other day He says, I don't know what we're going to do, he said to this man that was talking to me. He says, in our prayer meeting, he says, our prayer meeting is dominated by four people, each of them who take 10 minutes in prayer. There's 40 minutes gone and the whole prayer meeting time is over. So it's better to have 10 people praying for 4 minutes rather than four people praying for 10 minutes in a public meeting for prayer where there are more people than there are minutes in which to pray. Let me say this. In the prayer meeting, whenever we're getting to prayer vocally, all the departments of God's work should be brought before the Lord weekly. People who represent those departments should be praying for them, as well as the wider church meeting praying for them. The church's evangelistic activity to the community and outreach should be prayed for. Think of the massive, we're not a rural congregation, we're an urban congregation. We're in the midst of thousands of homes where we are. What a scope for us, what an opportunity. We ought to be praying for the neighbourhood, not just around us here, but in the widening circle. We ought to pray for the preaching of God's word and its success, that there would be effectiveness and fruitfulness. We should pray for the seriously ill and the bereaved, and people going through terrible trial. We should, of course, pray for the salvation of souls and for the reviving of God's word. We should be thankful whenever God has answered our prayers. We should be specific. And you people constantly should seek to pray. I said earlier that I'll have a wee word with the young people why you should be in the prayer meeting. Here's another reason. Not only that you learn to pray, but there are people that come to our prayer meetings. It has been their life. Ever from I've come to this church, they've been there without fail. But they're getting old. We're all getting old, of course. But the time may come that they'll not be able to come out anymore. They'll be housebound. They'll be ill. And maybe the Lord take them home. What gaps are left whenever praying warriors leave a church? Or you might say, well, they're only people. But the Sunday services will tell how much we miss those praying people. Because remember what I said, how it goes with the prayer meetings will go with the Sunday services. And young people, you need to be getting in there to join with the rest, like new blood coming into the body, so that when older, experienced men and women are no more among us, you'll be there to take the place. You say, but how can I pray? Just first of all, thank the Lord for saving you. That would be good. Secondly, you could pray, Lord, would you save such and such a person? Or you could be listening to what other people are praying about and say, Lord, bless so and so there that I heard prayed about. That's how you start. And it would be a good thing if each person that was praying just limit him or herself to about three matters. And if the prayers were spread all over the prayer meeting, what life and vitality. The church prayer meeting, it's warrant, it's worth, and it's working. I said that we need to be in attendance. We need to pray. And lastly, we need to pray with confidence that God will hear us and answer. I'm asking you, my dear brother and sister, to take the prayer meetings seriously that are in this church and have a warm heart toward what's often been called, it's only a prayer meeting. Have a warm heart toward it. And this is what I want you to do, as you will. First of all, will every Christian here pray for the prayer meetings of our church? And you're praying every day. Will you ask God, bless the prayer meetings in Bethany? Secondly, will you do your best to attend at least one of them, especially the Wednesday night meeting? And young person, young Christian, ask your mum and dad to let you come or go to one of these prayer meetings out of conviction. And then endeavor, when you're there, to frequently take part in audible, passionate, fervent praying. We have a new season. big responsibilities face us as a church. We've got to evangelize this community. We've got to waken up to the fact that souls are perishing all around us. And the way to do that, basically the way to do it, fundamentally the way to do it, is to look at the prayer meeting and realize there's the hub, the nub, the source, the engine room of it all. And if it's right, the rest of the church's activities will take care of themselves. Will you look in the prayer meeting in a new light, friend? The church prayer meeting, we've seen its warrant, its worth and its workings before God. Will you make yourself, by His grace, an essential part of the prayer life of this church by coming to the rooms that are set aside for prayer in God's house?